And now, here's your host, board-certified circumcision reattachment specialist, Drew Marshall. It is rough, and I wonder every morning if I'll have strength enough to believe what I've been promised and trust that you are here, to know that your sweet love will drive away the fear with freedom.
Well, award-winning singer-songwriter Gary Chapman returns with The Truth. I'm glad somebody's got it. Due on November 5th, folks. That's when it drops. That's what the kids say. It drops.
You're so cool, Drew.
Thank you. Word. The long-anticipated collection of songs is the first studio album from Chapman in over a decade. I think that's when he finally broke parole. The Truth features 16 new studio recordings with special vocal appearances from some of Chapman's friends and family. Check this out. Alison Krauss, John Rich, Tanya Tucker, Rebecca Lynn Howard. For well over three decades, Gary has seamlessly blurred the lines of contemporary Christian pop, country, and Southern gospel, racking up an impressive list of Dove Awards, Grammy nominations, and writing credits for legendary artists such as Kenny Rogers, Alabama, and Winona. A couple of folks there we've had on the show in the past. Chapman is also widely remembered as the host of TNN's popular primetime country television series and the Sam's Place concert series and radio program. GaryChapmanMusic.com is the website. GaryChapmanMusic.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Gary Chapman. Hello, Mr. Chapman.
Hello, Mr. Drew. You know, I had absolutely no idea that you were a circumcision reattachment specialist.
I don't necessarily like my job, but the tips are good.
Oh my gosh! I wish I had known this. My wife and I decided to have a baby a couple of years ago, and after a long hiatus, I put the boys back in the pool, and you could have helped me.
Listen, my first question for you, Mr. Chapman, is what's your primary love language?
You know, Tim called me and said you guys were going to need to take a little delay because of the phone issue with the last guest. So I went online and listened, and I was just thrilled that it gave me time for number one. So I would assume that would be my first language.
Okay. All right.
No, you know, I get that guy's emails for the last 20 years, and he gets mine.
We have
never actually looked at each other in the face. That needs to happen someday.
I think you should go on tour together.
It is horribly ironic that, you know, he's that guy and I'm this guy.
Yeah.
It's very funny. I would do it. I'd do it in a second.
I really didn't know a whole lot about you because I never kind of got into the huge Christian music scene a whole lot. I kind of went as far as Larry Norman, Randy Stonehill, Keith Green, Mark Hurd.
Yeah, yeah. That was a nice time to bow out, actually.
Yeah. But then I found out that, I kind of decided that I like you because anybody that's got a book on Henry Nouwen on his bookshelf and a book on Bing Crosby is a buddy of mine right there.
but that would be the yin and the yang of my library, pretty much.
Well, when was the last time you got in your whirlybird and chased some deer?
You know, not as much as I want to these days. Work has gotten in the way, but I do love to fly. And there is nothing quite like an aerial assault on innocent wildlife.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's a huge deal in Australia. They shoot the kangaroos from the choppers, right? Because they turn into a bit of a pest there as well. Actually, I just heard a story yesterday at the pub. The bartender was telling me that his wife works for some education place, and up near us there's a place called Primrose, and there was a primary school group going out for a little nature walk. True story.
Mm-hmm.
And the front kid got attacked by a buck. A buck flew out of the bush, rattled this kid so bad, knocked out his teeth and broke his clavicle. He's in the hospital. This is yesterday.
Wow.
Crazy.
So the buck stops there.
Yeah. Yeah, really? Really? That's what you're going to throw down, that one?
Just set him up. Make it easy to knock him down.
Listen, I want to somehow segue into your life because, you know, we've often quoted Mike Iaconelli on our show. His book, Messy Spirituality, is kind of a big read in my life, and messy spirituality is the Christianity most of us live but few of us admit. Dude, you've had a messy life. Like, you're a, I don't know if you still are a jerk, but you really were one.
Well, you know, I got credited with being a bigger jerk than I was, but yes, you're correct. I'm sure I had jerkish moments.
Jerkish tendencies.
Yes, indeed.
I remember Brian Duncan and I were sitting in the Blues Club at Printer's Alley in Nashville, and he pointed to a guy at the bar and said, "See that guy over there? That guy, one song ruined his life. He would disappear for weeks at a time." It was Bob Carlyle.
Oh, yeah. Butterfly Kisses.
Yeah. Yeah, and he, yeah. You know, he really struggled with the fame and the money and blah, blah, blah. And he just kind of, you know, he just kind of like that. He just kind of dropped off the face of the earth. So there's a troubled soul. Would you consider yourself, you know, a troubled soul?
No, not really. I think I have been at points. Today, no, definitely not. I didn't really struggle with fame and money. I just roared. I just went crazy. You know, I was the guy that, I was a walking party, you know. And if that's a struggle, then yes, I did. But it didn't feel like a struggle at the time, quite frankly, until life slapped me in the face. It'll do that after a while.
I'm sorry, did you say until your wife slapped you in the face or life?
Sorry, our connection's not that good.
I don't know how to word this. I haven't written the proper stuff down to be all polished and professional in this interview because...
Thank God.
Well, yeah. I didn't think you'd appreciate it either. But here's the deal. When I went to GMA Week in Nashville once, and I'll never go back again. It was kind of like the National Religious Broadcasting Convention. It was just an odd gathering of people.
Yeah. And, I haven't been in 12 years, so I got it.
Okay. So, but what I was a little astounded, and I guess I shouldn't be, because I'm, you know, I'll drink most people under the table, but I was a little astounded that if you find the right people at Gospel Music Association Week, you can score the right stuff.
Unfortunately, hiding was the biggest addiction for me. And that seems to be, at least back then, like I said, I haven't been in a while, that was fairly prevalent, you know. And I think that's what destroys our ability to actually impact culture more than anything else. Because everybody freaking knows that, you know, whoever is drinking and they're claiming they're not, or they're doing this and claiming they're not, everybody knows it already. And to lie about it undermines everything.
So, you know, I mentioned this to you off air earlier, and you said, you know, you should bring that up. And I'm trying to go about this in the least tackiest way possible, because I'm sure everybody and their mother, and you've already done this a million times, and you got to be rolling your eyes at it, right? People think, you know, Gary Chapman, they go, oh, that guy did cocaine. Oh, yeah, that guy was married to Amy Grant. Right. And he was, I don't know, whatever Amy Grant said, you know, and you know, maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. And, you know, I remember people were more upset with me that I interviewed Amy Grant than when I interviewed the high priest of the Church of Satan.
Did you put them back to back?
That would have been good. That would have been good. You know, there's a part of me that doesn't... I don't know. I don't know how to handle this interview, Gary, because all I'm going off of...
Go for it. I don't care.
No, but I want to do this... I'm trying to do this as authentically as possible because, you know... I don't give a holy grunt anymore if someone gets divorced or if someone does drugs or someone's struggling with the booze. I don't care anymore. I just don't care anymore. Now, that happens to maybe coincide with the fact that I suck spiritually. But I, you know, I remember back in the day getting all in a tizzy about these sort of things. And these are the top two things that come to mind. Okay, here's the question. How do you feel about the fact that when I think of Gary Chapman, I think of cocaine and divorcing Amy Grant?
Well, I'll take them one at a time. As far as the cocaine thing goes, September 2nd, 1986, I stopped, period. I have not so much as seen cocaine since that day. Now, that's somewhat of a miracle with the circles that I run in. But I decided on that day that if I didn't do my part to fix my crap, I was going to lose my marriage that day. There was a lot more going on that has never been discussed, and I'm not going to tell you today because then I wouldn't sell as many books.
Okay, got it. Yep.
But there was plenty going on. The reality is I chose to come clean with my addiction because somebody had to take a hit. I'm not claiming to be martyr guy, but somebody had to be responsible for what was repeatedly referred to as a rocky relationship. Well, I did, and I don't regret it, because what I did in coming clean put me in a position to be able to genuinely be the guy that people came to when they were struggling with that, when they needed help. It let down the wall and allowed people in to my real life so that I could actually affect them positively.
Okay, but I
knew when I did it, I was going to be the guy that did cocaine from now on. I knew it.
Yeah.
And it's true.
But I don't know if I know anybody who has been addicted to something who is no longer addicted to anything, number one. I also don't know if I know anybody who lived many, many years with double life things who still doesn't have some kind of double life thing.
Well, it's good to meet you. I'm glad to be the first.
Really?
I don't have anything to hide anymore. I really don't. What am I hiding now? Good Lord. I am pretty open with my life these days. I took living two lives to an absolute art form. I don't think I was actually addicted necessarily to the substance. I love the hiding. I love the sneaking part of it. And that is way more destructive, probably, for me it was, than the actual substance. I think until you let down those walls and really, like I said earlier, and really let people see who you are, you're not genuinely impacting. You're just skimming the surface. You're just putting a nice shine on your turd. It is not the truth.
Is that the name of your... You got to have an album called that.
Polish this.
Just shine on your turd. Oh, man. That's some kind of funny. All of a sudden, I'm talking like I'm some country music person. You know, that's some kind of funny. Would you say that you are a gospel guy? Are you a country guy? What are you, man?
I don't know. I've been a man without a genre my entire life. I've enjoyed so many different kinds of music, and I bore so quickly. I love my ADD. I would never, ever think of medicating it. I'm not happy if I don't have a bunch of balls in the air. Hmm. So, you know, that's just the way that I am. And I do enjoy branching out to different genres. I'm living in Nashville. You know, I'm up to my eyeballs in country music. I grew up in Texas. It is who I am. But deeper than that, deeper than music can go, God lives. So... You know, everything that I do, I hope it has his touch, not to be overly spiritual. I want him to permeate everything that I do. So, you know, there's no denying I'm a gospel guy because I'm a Christian. I'm pretty unashamed with it, you know.
I want to play a little clip here that I found, and let's flashback. Let's just take a moment. Let's do a little Wayne's World.
I'm glad you didn't.
Love it. Love
I am too.
You have this incredible ability to just be exactly who you are all the time. And it's what makes me love you so much. It is.
Well, Gary, it's hard enough to be who you are anyway.
Yeah.
So why be somebody else? You know, just be yourself and you... Really.
Gary Chapman is now writing that wise word
it's
of
tough,
advice
man.
Down.
Life's tough.
It'll throw you a little curve every now and then.
Damn then, with you.
No, you're right. I mean, I think I probably spent a piece of my young adult life trying to live two lives, you know. Had one set of friends here that I could roar with, and then one over here, you know, that I didn't. And, man, it's easily twice as much work, you know, to try to maintain that.
That's right.
And this is something you haven't struggled with a whole lot,
I
don't think.
I haven't.
All right. Obviously, that was a clip from that killer TV show you did there, and you were talking to Loretta Lynn. And
she was my date to the Country Music Awards the year I divorced. And
really?
She was awesome. Yeah, we had a blast. She was so much fun, man. We had so much stinking fun that night.
Okay, so the questions that come out of me for that, I am such a jerk. I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna ask you this: were you doing coke at that point in time?
No, I told you.
Well, when was that?
That was in, oh, God, that had to have been at least after 94. That's okay. When I started doing the television show.
Okay. I'm a paranoid white guy.
Don't y'all have calendars up there?
No, because every time I see you go on the television thing, I watch you, you go like this. You go, I go, oh, he was doing coke then. He was doing coke. Did you have to get rid of that one crowd you roared with? Did you have to disassociate?
I did. And it was really one of the saddest things that I have encountered so far in life. Like I said, September 2nd, that happened. Honest to goodness, September 3rd, I started making calls. And it went basically something like this. To the degree that our relationship is based on us doing drugs together, we don't have a relationship. And out of the 100 or so people, honestly, that I reached out to in that way, 2 survived.
Wow. Wow.
And they're still friends today. But you know what? God restores. It comes back in spades. I'm covered up with amazing friends. So no regrets.
Are you really an elder at your church?
I actually am. Can you believe that? Those people are not thinking.
Oh, man. How do you think your, let's see, how do I word this? How do you think your theology has changed? That's a crap way of wording it. But, you know, let me ask you this. Is there stuff you used to believe you no longer believe?
Oh, I know everything has evolved. I'm not trying to sugarcoat this at all, but, you know, I grew up in an Assembly of God church, Assembly of God preacher's kid. I had very, very ultra-conservative teaching. You know, we didn't have a television until I was 12 years old. And that was simply because my dad stumbled into the coat closet, hanging up his coat, visiting the meanest deacon, the most outspoken, guy against the demon tube. And he opened up the closet to hang up his coat when he was visiting the guy, and there was a television in the closet. So we got one that day. You know, because of those kind of social walls that particular denomination put up, at least at that point in time, obviously I've changed dramatically from that. I do love to dance, despite the fact that I suck at it.
And you're white.
I am white, and that really slows me down.
Yeah.
I certainly will have a fine wine and a good cigar if there's one available.
You need to stay away from Jeff Moore then.
Oh, big time. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
But in terms of what has defined me, the most dramatic thing for me, the fulcrum point of my life beyond the salvation at age 7, was the death of my father. He lived with me until he died in my home 4 years ago, Easter morning at sunrise. And he lived really, really well, and he died better. And he lost use of his legs the last couple of years of his life. So I basically returned the favor. He changed my diaper and put me to bed the first 2 years of mine, and I did the same for him the last 2 years of his. And his passing changed everything for me. I absolutely believed in the whole process. I believed in Jesus. He's the Son of God. We have to accept him. We have to confess our sins. There is a heaven. It does wait for us. I believed all that. But through a series of experiences that we don't have time for today, but I would love to if you want to at some point, my dad showed me heaven because he went back and forth the last 2 weeks of his life with stories and facts, particular unique facts that he shared with myself and my brother and my sister and other people that only they knew, that suddenly he knew because he had seen everything. And I will never be the same. Never. I don't want to die, but I am quite frankly fired up about it. It is going to be incredible. He basically told me, as much as I taught you about heaven, I was right, but I was wrong because there's so much more. And it changed everything for me.
Dude, you're killing me here, man. You're making me all serious and stuff.
Well, get over it. Have a drink.
We got 55 minutes before that happens. So, okay, this is a cheesy radio interview thing to do, but let's do it anyway. One word to describe. Let's play that game. You ready?
Sure, go.
Alison Krauss.
Amazing.
Oh, come on.
Gifted? Angel? What do you want? She is a unique talent. She just opens her mouth and beautiful things happen. She and I have done two or three songs over the years, and when I heard If God Had a Front Porch for the first time, the demo, I honestly, as it faded to quiet, I said her name out loud. I knew she had to be on that song.
Very cool.
And she's just incredible. Sorry, that's more than one. But
yeah, okay.
You seem to not accept the one that I offered, so I'm excited.
John Rich.
Crazy as hell.
Like, that's a surprise.
Yeah. No, and shockingly committed. That man, he has God at his core like you can't believe. His dad is a hellfire and brimstone preacher, and he will never get away from it.
Tanya Tucker.
Rougher than a stucco bathtub.
Oh, man.
And at this point in her life, just as sweet and pure as anybody you could ever want to meet. She has seen the darkest underbelly of life and has emerged on the other side, bathed in the grace of Christ. And it's really cool. She's awesome.
Winona. Now, she just married a drummer guy. What's his name?
Cactus Mosier.
Yeah, we had Cactus on the show a few years ago, just after, I don't know, a few months after I interviewed. I actually would like to take credit for setting those two up, because I had them both on my show within the same year, and I think I did that.
Well, I'm glad you did. He's the best thing that ever happened to her.
Yeah?
Cactus is awesome. I've known him for a long, long time. Actually, Highway 101, that band that he had years ago, recorded a song or two of mine, and he's just so real. I mean, you've been with him, so you know. He's funny, he's quick, he's unashamed, he's unabashed, he is Cactus.
When you were chatting with Kenny Rogers, did you say, dude, like, your face, man?
You know, I thankfully, I have not had the opportunity to chat with Kenny on the air since he became partially Asian. So, oh my gosh. I'm going to get my butt handed to me for that. I apologize. He is a sweet, sweet man, and I love him to death. So
he's not going to hear this. This is Canada. He doesn't care about us.
Yeah. There's only, what do you got, 5-6 million people up there listening in? Yeah, nobody will let him know. No, Kenny's awesome. I'm sorry I said that. I
but he's got to know. He's got to know.
Well, sure he does. I mean, you know, I'm sure.
He could get a corporate sponsorship from Silly Putty. No? Is that bad?
That's bad.
Okay, yeah, I'll shut up.
Too much.
I'll shut up.
Too much.
All right. Listen, you sound like a good hang. You really do. And again, as I get older, those kind of people are rare. So.
Yeah, I know. There's not that many of us left.
And this album.
All about.
I know.
We talked all about the past, my gosh.
I know. The album. The album.
Wife. I have a baby daughter that's 5 months old. She's awesome. Okay. Had to get it in there.
Sorry. All right. Congratulations.
I knew you were going there.
Congratulations on your new child.
Thank you. She's killer.
After all the parenting that you've done, you probably realize what I now realize. One kid is 24, one's 21. Parenting is a lot easier once you get them into foster care.
I've got a 26-year-old son and 21 and 23-year-old daughters living in Manhattan and a 5-month-old daughter.
Wow.
I was a good father. I actually loved the process. But, as it is well documented, I was an idiot. And I am having so much fun doing my best to be a great father this time around. And it's really cool. Very cool.
Good for you, man. Good for you. All right, folks. The album, which drops November 5th, is called The Truth. And we're going to go out with another little track from that album. I had a little listen, and I'm a little impressed. wish I'd kind of known you back in the day or known more about you, because I'm sitting here going, man, where'd this guy come from? Apparently you've been around a while, and I've just been snoozing, so.
It's okay. It's okay. You can anytime's fine if you wake up.
As long as you wake up. Gary Chapman, Grammy-nominated recording artist. The website is GaryChapmanMusic.com. GaryChapmanMusic.com. Have a little listen to this guy's sweet, mellifluous tones. You've heard his guts. You've heard his soul. Now hear his music. Ooh, that was good, huh? You like that?
That was very good.
You're awesome,
you should
Drew.
You should do this for a living.
Gary, buddy, thank you. Thank you very, very much, man.
Let's talk again soon. I love it.
All right, man. Take care. Have a listen, folks.
World be a better place. Shows all a better way. If God had a telephone, it'd be a number everybody knows, and you'd never fail to get him on the line. You could call in the middle of the night just to laugh or just to cry, and he'd never be the first to say goodbye. God had a telephone.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. You ready for this? For $12.50, that's right, only $12.50, we'll mention your organization's name, website, and a brief description. Did you catch that? During each show, we'll read out your organization's name, website, and a brief description for only $12.50. Now, obviously, there's no point in doing that only once during a four-hour show, so we'll read your advertisement four times per show for an entire month, and each time we do it, it'll only cost you $12.50. It's kind of like putting an advertisement up on every church bulletin in the GTA, except you don't have to get permission from that grumpy old lady at the front desk. Now look, because there are limited spots available for our 1250 special, why don't you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250. Now sure, we're right in the middle of things here in the show, but if you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250, we'll take your name and number and call you back on Monday to sign up for the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. This is nuts. Are you sure we want to do this? How am I supposed to make any money?